Welcome to the Sunday Night There is a Solution newcomer and returning members meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. This meeting is being recorded, so you may visit our website at oaontario.org, where you'll find this audio recording, additional podcasts, and a place to donate to keep this special service active. The opinions expressed are those of individual OA members and do not represent OA as a whole. Our speaker today is a compulsive overeater, a member who has at least 6 months of abstinence, has recovered through the directions of the Big Book, and maintains recovery on a daily basis. After the share, there will be time to make a comment or ask a question about the OA program or what the speaker has shared. Welcome, Christina L., a compulsive overeater from, and I forget where you're from, Florida, right?
Florida. Yep, that's right.
Welcome.
Thank you. I just want to ask, am I timing myself or is someone else timing me?
I'll have a timer
Okay,
at
perfect.
my
Thank you.
Window.
Yeah, well, I guess just go ahead and start then. So I just want to just invite my higher power in because I am feeling super nervous right now. And I just want to ask God to just be here present with all of us and just to work through me, help me to set aside everything that I think I know about myself, about this experience, and especially about God, so that I may have an open mind and a new experience, and also to be of service to at least one sick and suffering compulsive overeater here tonight. And so, yeah, thank you, Jessica, for asking me to be of service. I really feel like it was divine timing to do this and stuff. I had been thinking about being of service in different ways recently. And one of the things that's just really been coming to me is that, you know, my higher power has really been telling me that I have a story to share and I need to share it. I think that just because I've had relapse or that I've only got 9 months abstinence, which I just celebrated about a week or two ago, that I don't have anything to share. But I know that that's not true. That's just my disease that's trying to make me believe that, you know, I'm not worth anything, and just trying to make me go back into the food, which is definitely not where I want to be. I am a relapse survivor. I've had three significant relapses. My most recent one was the longest, where I actually gained back half of my weight that I had lost in OA, which has been pretty devastating, and I'm still working towards getting my way back into a healthy body weight. But you know, the focus for me today is just on my spirituality and my connection to my higher power, and not so much about the weight, but just to prove like where I've been at. This, I'm going to share a picture of what I looked like when I was about a year before I came into program. Hang on, I just got to find it. I'll just show all the pictures now because I think that that might be easier. So this is me on the left, and this was at my sister's wedding. That's her. And that was her sister-in-law, her new sister-in-law. And that was taken about a year before I came into program, which was in 2012. I, at that point, was at the 200 pound mark. So, and I'm only 5'3" So I am not very tall to be carrying around that much weight. And I was absolutely miserable. That was just my most depressing time in my life. I had given up on dieting at all and didn't want to have anything to do with life, really. I was just dying inside. We were talking about the vision convention and stuff, and I pulled that one up real quick while we were, that was me meeting my sponsor for the first time when I recovered the first time, back in 2019. And this was July of 2022, I believe. I was recovered. I was at a healthy body weight. I was actually in Colorado at a friend's wedding, friend from program. And that was the beginning of where the relapse began. And this one was just before I came back into program. I did leave for about a year. I didn't leave 12-step recovery, but I did leave OA trying to find a easier, softer way. And this was actually at my 30-year high school reunion a year ago in July. And that was at my top weight before I came back. And that is it. So I am gonna stop sharing those. So that is that journey. But my food goes back to, or my history goes back to a young child, probably about 7 years old, I think, was where I can first identify where the disease started to kick in. And I did have a very difficult childhood, I would say. I mean, it didn't seem difficult, but there was a lot of dysfunction that was going on in my family. And I don't think that had anything to do with me being a compulsive overeater. I do believe that I am a compulsive overeater because I am a compulsive overeater, and it is hereditary, and I see that just in my father. But I do believe that the circumstances of my childhood, the circumstances of my life, did make me turn to food for that sense of ease and comfort, which I did get at that time. And when I was 7, I think that was when I started keeping food in my mouth as long as I possibly could. I would just go back to class from lunch or recess, depending on where it was at, and I would just hold it in my mouth for as long as I could. And that's the first thing that I can remember of my disease, of the most unusual things that I ever did. And then my weight got really heavy when I was in 5th grade, I think it was. And then my aunt tried to put me on a diet, and it didn't last more than 3 days, thank God, because she really couldn't keep focused on a diet either. And I don't think she had any business putting me on a diet because she was morbidly obese and a type 2 diabetic. But that's what they did. They were concerned about me and stuff. And eventually my mom changed the way she was cooking at one point, and then we started walking because we live in Florida, so it's always pretty much nice weather for the most part. And that was in, I think, 9th grade. And I did lose weight. That was probably the first time I was ever in a healthy body since childhood. And after that, the disease began to seriously progress, especially when I turned 18. There were some situations that happened, and that just made me turn to food all the more. And that was when the new behaviors started to creep in, the behaviors that would actually really take me down. And that was like just lying about what I was eating and hiding it. I'd work, and then I'd stop at a fast food place on the way home, scarf it down in the car, and it was not even a 2 mile ride down the car down from where I was working to get home and stuff. And then I would eat a meal that my mom had cooked and stuff. And I don't know how I did that, but that's what I did. And it wasn't until probably a few years later that I decided that I was done and went back on another diet. And that was my pattern until I was about 37 years old. I did go into OA somewhere between the ages of 18 and 23. I know it was between those ages because one, I drove myself there, and two, I did not have a relationship with God in my life at that time. And I will what I heard at that meeting was turn your life and your will over to the care of God and put down your binge and trigger foods. They probably said sugar and flour. I don't really remember, but that just made me walk out the door, and I did not darken the doors of OA until March 26th of 2013, after saying for years that I would not go back. My sister, that picture, that first picture of my sister's wedding, that was, like I said, about a year before I came into program. And not too long after that, my sister convinced me to do a diet, because you could see in that picture she was at a very thin and healthy weight and stuff. And at that time she was a beach body coach, and was into all these fun workouts and shakes and stuff like that. So at this point, I figured I did it just to support her. Really, I had given up on dieting. I had just resigned to the fact that I was supposed to be fat and miserable like the rest of my relatives for the rest of my life. And didn't really believe that there was anything else out there for me. My sister, my mom, my husband, there was definitely all of that frothy emotional appeal that we hear. And none of that could help. I was terrified of getting diabetes or, having other health issues, but even that didn't help. I just wanted to be healthy, but I didn't know how to do that. Certainly not by myself. My sister, after I did that beach body thing, which lasted about 2 weeks, then we were getting into the holidays, and at one point she must have mentioned something to me about going to OA, and I have this email that I sent her on Facebook Messenger that said, "Nothing will work for me, not bi-weekly sessions with my therapist, not magic shakes, not I don't even remember all the stuff that I said, but I do remember, and I do know this, that I said, not even OA." And I said, "You just need to pray for me, because I do have, I guess I must have started to get a little bit of hope, or maybe I was just being optimistic. I don't know. But I said, I do have hope that someday I will be healthy, and I just need you to pray for me." Well, lo and behold, she was praying for me, but in that time, life got worse. I had a miscarriage in January after that, so about 2 months after, and that sent me down to my bottom, absolute bottom. It was like the most depressing, darkest, loneliest, confusing time in my life, and very devastating, because I so badly wanted another child. But my husband didn't want one, another one. We already had one at that time. And I felt that that would have been my only chance to have that child. And God did not give me my baby back. And I actually said that driving over the bridge, driving to work one morning, "God, I will not praise your name until you give me my baby back." And but at that time, I started turning the radio off and listening for what God's will was, because by this point I had come into a relationship with God that happened when I was about 23 years old, and by this point I was just about 30, or was 37, I guess. And just was praying, and I had been praying for probably a good 2 years prior to that. What is your will for me, God? Like, what do you want me to do? And I don't know where it came from. It came from somewhere in those quiet moments in the car, I believe. And the only thing I remember, I don't remember when it came or how it came or anything. The only thing I remember next was calling my sister when I got home from work one day and saying, "I think I'm going to go to an OA meeting. Will you go with me?" And I could hear the smile on her face when she said yes. And well, I'm getting chills. So that began the journey. What's that been, 12 years or 13 years? I can't keep track. 12 years. It's been 12 years. And that was the beginning. And I remember going in there, I was absolutely terrified. I didn't know what to expect. I didn't know what I was getting myself into. I remember hearing the steps being shared. And of course, at that time, the way I understood them is completely different than the way I understand them today. And I knew that I was right where I was supposed to be. Funny thing is, my therapist at that time had even been telling me to go to OA, and she's told me since. She's like, you were dead serious. You were dead against going back to OA. And I only had that like one little experience and stuff, but that's just where I was at, and I guess that was all that needed to happen in order for me to finally surrender. And I do believe that I did fully surrender when I came into this program. I did everything that I was told to do. Probably some things that I probably shouldn't have. I definitely see where I didn't understand certain things, and my mind twisted things around and stuff. And so when I went from being a compulsive overeater to a restrictor, not with the amount of food, but with food itself. And my step one experience has, I believe that's what, well, yeah, I mean, obviously, because it is about the food until it's not about the food. So I went from compulsively overeating to restricting food out of fear of what other people had experienced from their experiences with food. So I was restricting just to play it safe. And I started restricting so much food that everything that I gave up and I thought that I was left with, I thought that, okay, this is good. I should be safe now. But then as soon as I would eat something else, you know, that taste would have a sweet taste to it and stuff, or a taste that I liked or whatever. And then I would think that I needed to eliminate that food too. Today, thank you God, I know that I am allowed to enjoy my food. My food is allowed to taste good, that I'm allowed to enjoy my food. And a lot of my relapses have been around just trying to find that what's the word I'm looking for? Neutrality. Thank you. Thank you, God. I couldn't remember. I was thinking it was began with an S there. But anyways, so yeah, so there was no neutrality. And so that was why I stepped away from OA for a while. I just needed to get away from it. Or so I thought, but really it was the disease trying to get me back into the disease and isolated and just letting my life fall completely apart. And my relapse began about a year. I had a year-long prelapse before I actually relapsed into the food. And it started with giving up my 10 steps. Then I gave up my nightly review, and then I let go of my sponsee. And then about 3 months later, the food started calling. And about 3 months after that, I was in full-blown relapse. And it took a good year for me to come back. I started trying to come back in January, and it just did not take. And it wasn't until that July, just before my high school reunion, that I was starting to realize that what I was trying to do in the other program was not working for me. And I started to come back. And I remember the first, I think it was the first time that I called in to a Vision for You, which is where I is my home group. The paragraph they were on was on page 30, and it was the paragraph that is we had to fully concede to our innermost selves that we were alcoholics. And I really love God's sense of humor. I really love that 2x4 that I got smacked in the head with that day and stuff, because I knew it in my head that I was a compulsive overeater. But I think that day it finally moved to my heart. And I didn't come back immediately because the high school reunion was in there and stuff, and there were other things. And I was just like, I'm coming back, but you know, I gotta do this. I gotta do this when I know that I'm ready and stuff. And I can't really say that I ever got ready. And I know that I wasn't quite ready, because when I started working the steps that time, I think it was in August when I found a sponsor and got abstinent. I was holding on to some things, like I mentioned, I was restricting certain things, and I thought, maybe the this these there was three things, and I thought maybe that those things were okay because I had been having them when I was out on relapse, and I didn't feel that they were a problem at all. But really, with one of them, I was definitely completely dishonest. And so what ended up happening was, after we got through the steps, I realized that I was not recovered. I knew what that felt like. That picture that I shared of my sponsor at the Vision Convention, I was recovered then. I did have a spiritual awakening as a result of working these steps, and I was not feeling any of that. And I had to make a decision. I was still holding on to that other program. I was working the steps in that other program as well. And I started with another sponsor after I'd come clean with my sponsor and shared with her some things. And I made the decision that I had to put those three things down on my yellow light list. That was one of the first assignments that my sponsor gave me, was like to make a list of my alcoholic foods, red, yellow, and green. Green, anything that I can have, that's not a problem. Yellow, if I'm not sure about it, and red, that's definitely off limits. And my off limits foods were very obvious to me, but there were those three things that I was putting. That I was putting down from working the steps the first time. I remember telling my sponsor, like, I really don't think that these are a problem, but I'm not really sure. And I committed to not eating them while I was going through the steps. And I told her that I believe that some of my relapses, or probably all of them, there was a fear of being honest about that. There was a fear of being judged for wanting to talk about bringing those foods back in when I got through the steps, and I told her that I might want to talk about bringing those foods back in. I never brought those foods back in. Thank you, God. In fact, I see today, like, yeah, there the that was it. But all the other foods that I had given up, all the crazy foods that I had given up, and I don't there's three ingredients that I don't eat today and stuff, and a lot of those ingredients are a byproduct, have the different foods that create my binge and trigger foods that I don't eat today. So that was that. And then just trusting and relying on God, like step two, I had to fully accept that God was there. God was going to provide me with everything that I needed. And step three, turning my life and will over to God, to the care of God. And at that point, I think it was around step three that I decided that it was time to let go of that other fellowship. That other fellowship was really getting in the way of me being able to recover. And I knew that I needed to do this. I can't say that I was fully willing when I came, but I knew that I had to, because I knew I had a disease, and I knew that this was the only answer for me. And I remember thinking that, that at one point, like, I don't know if I really am recovered, because I wasn't fully willing, and I didn't really feel like the food beat me into a state of unreasonableness at this point and stuff this time. And my disease was telling me that I wasn't 300 pounds, that I hadn't surrendered, that I hadn't been beaten to a pulp enough yet, that, I wasn't surrendered enough. And I heard Harlan G share on A Vision for You one morning that bring the body and the willingness will follow. And that just that just sealed the deal for me. I'm like, all right, well, I brought the body and the willingness is following, because like once I let go of that other fellowship, like, I started to wake up and I started to like really put everything I had into this, the step work. And this time it wasn't perfect. In the past I was so concerned about what other people would think. And I was definitely in self-reliance of working the steps at that point and trying to make sure I had every dot I dotted and every T crossed and never making a mistake, never letting my sponsor see where I was human. Because today I fully believe that I am human, and that I do make mistakes, where before I couldn't accept that I was human and that I would make mistakes. So that was step two and step three, and then we started on an inventory. I can't really say there was anything special about the inventory because I've done them so many times and everything, and there really wasn't anything that really was profound for me in that. It was a lot of the same old stuff for the most part. But my step five was really different. I just remember really connecting with God. And I have never done, I've usually just sat there still, quiet, just like reading and reflecting on, the things that were on my inventory and going back through the first three steps and stuff like that. But this time I was like really in like a conversation with God. And the way that I did that was through journaling, because that's how I really connect with God. Otherwise my thoughts just kind of like go out to a cloud in the sky. There was something that came out of that. I don't remember exactly what it was, but I just remember it just being a completely different experience than anyone I've ever had before. And then going through six and seven and making amends. Most of my amends have all been living amends this time, with the exception of a couple of people. And the theme around those was all around gossip. I have done some really incredibly difficult amends. The previous times that I've gone through the steps. And some of those are some of my favorite amends. But one of my new favorite amends was, she wasn't on my list this time, but she was on my amends list from 2018, I think it was. And I couldn't find her. And because I got reconnected with friends from high school last year, who I haven't been in contact with for several years, two of them were trying to find one of our friends. And we couldn't find her for years, but then the one friend, she found her just before Christmas, I think it was. And she came down this August because her son was going to college here. And I got to make amends to her after all those years. And that was just one of those God moments. Like, I couldn't find her. I tried finding her. Apparently she had changed her name when she got married, like completely changed her name. My friend found her because her mother had died, and in the obituary they put her original name that we knew her as. So that was just a really incredible experience to be able to make that amends from so long ago that, when I gave it away to my sponsor because I couldn't find her, and I cried my eyes out sharing it with her. I cried my eyes out for not being the friend that I felt that she deserved, that where she had been a really good friend to me and stuff. So now we're back in connection and stuff, but step 11 or step 10, I would like to say that I do step 10 every day, but I've been having an experience with step 10 lately that I am learning that I can't go by what anybody else says about how they do step 10. And I was actually just listening to today's special edition, and someone shared that they do their step 10s in the way that's going to make them do them. Whatever way is the simplest for them, that's going to get them done. And that's what I am learning that I have to do today, because I can really overcomplicate things. And that's what I've been doing and stuff. And I can really get into that perfectionism of, making sure I'm calling the right person and making sure I'm writing down everything down. And I've been really, I've been told that I am very thorough on my 10 steps and stuff, because I think I'm playing it safe. Like, I'm trying to make sure that I've got all those I's dotted and T's crossed. And, that's not relying on God. That's relying on myself. And step 11, my step 11 practice I do every morning and every night. And there was a special edition that my sponsor had me listen to on steps 10, 11, and 12. That really was a really powerful experience for me. I wouldn't say it was a powerful experience, but it was a powerful share for me to hear, because it really inspired me to do my step 11 practice in a way that worked for me, that was going to be able to help me to connect with my higher power and just focus on the things that I wanted to focus. Because when I sit down in the morning and I'm just like, my mind's going 1,000 miles a minute and stuff, just racing from one thing to the next, and it's really hard for me to get focused. And so I have everything written down of where I'm going, like, oh, that was fast. where I'm going. And I'll just wrap up with step 12 then. Step 11 I do every morning, every night, and then step 12 I do have a sponsee. I only have one sponsee at a time, because I do have a full-time job, and then I have a full other commitments outside of work. I do have a son who's a senior in high school and stuff, and I have a mother who has some serious health issues that are going on, and so that's requiring a lot of service in that area as well. And sponsoring really saves me. Working with others really saves me. Being here tonight really saves me, because I need to show up for my program today and to be of service, because without that, I can't keep what I've been given. So with that, I'll pass. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Christina.